Morning.
Morning.
It is morning, I think. Not where my body is right now. It's night. Yes, what can I do for you? Okay.
Governor, have you brought back some announcements of any investments or joint ventures which would involve Japanese companies in Oregon or Oregon companies abroad?
No. We visited two of our very active, meaning that they're coming close to making an announcement. It's in very heavy competition, and we visited both of them while I was in Japan. That decision is yet to be made, still in the process. I was hoping we could move it along and answer your question positively, but unfortunately we can't.
Japanese electronics firms, or?
They are in that high-tech area, some way.
When do you expect word?
Well, it's hard to tell. I suppose their decision probably within a week, 2 weeks, 10 days, something in that range. It's very close. I can't define it any more than that.
Give us an idea of what size of investment or factory, number of employees that might be involved.
No.
Yeah. Large.
Yes.
That's right.
Beyond that, however, I would say in Korea, Hong Kong, and China, I really felt it was all very worthwhile. The trade mission itself was Hong Kong and China. And then the trade members, with one exception, went their own way. One joined me in Korea to call on the Hyundai Shipping Company. But they felt it was worthwhile. I do. Hong Kong really is, incidentally, a very good place to do business in China. I mean, it's a good avenue into China. And we learned more this time about the business in China, and there's a lot of activity close to Hong Kong. And Xiamen itself in Fuzhou province is really quite active. It's fascinating to see it. Fuzhou, where we had been in November of 1984, has considerable capital investment, buildings going up, streets being fixed, infrastructure working. The members themselves, again, some of you, it's slow, no matter how you deal with it. It's nonetheless slow. And some that had been working there, and two or three of our members had been, they felt very good about the visit. They felt they were closing in. There was a couple of agreements. That's versus letter of intent. And although in a relatively small area, but others felt that it was going to come to pass pretty soon. So altogether, I would say it was very successful for our Oregon businesses. And I think it's important to note, because these trips always get a lot of attention and some criticism, that one out of six jobs in Oregon relates to international trade. And that's quite an important part of our economy. And so it doesn't do to ignore that. And I would want to remind you again that during my, this will probably be the last mission I will go on, that I will have averaged 2 weeks a year, and it's been very productive. For that period of time, it's been very useful to the state of Oregon, for our ports, for the companies in Oregon. So it's although not all of economic development, clearly, it's an important part of economic development, and it's worthy of at least 2 weeks a year out of a governor's time to deal with it, and I would strongly recommend that to the new governor.
Back at all the trade trips and point to the agreements that you've made and say these are the ones that came as a direct result of the trade trips?
I suppose if we were to measure it, but you understand that I'm there and then we have trade mission members. There's almost a dual part involved in this. They're out doing business, and they've all said, and you can ask them the same thing, when they're there with the governor, the doors are opening much broader for them, and it's a lot easier for them to do business. And so I'm certain that they have increased their business or solidified their business or made it more productive, those that were doing business, and many have been doing it. The other is the matter of a governor calling on companies that are close to decisions and trying to tell the governor, tell them that the governor is interested in their being there and it has some influence. I'm certain, as you know, that our part in NEC, Fujitsu America, Fujitsu Microelectronic, and Epson, that is the governor's office, was very important in the final decision. And companies over there like to know that the government is interested in it, because over there so much government is so much a part of business. I'm satisfied that it's productive and worthwhile. And certainly when you think of an investment of time of the governor of an average of 2 weeks out of a year, that's really a very small investment for the returns that are going to come to Oregon. If you look in a general way, the international trade between Oregon and the rest of the world, but mainly Japan, Korea, and Taiwan, has increased every year. Now, cause of effect, would have done it without the governor? It's hard to say, but I have to say that I believe, because Oregon is so highly identified now, so well known in Korea and Japan. From the time I made my first visit in 1979, there were some certainly didn't know Oregon was a state. If they knew it was a state, they didn't know where it was. Oregon is very well known now in Korea and Japan. Very well known. We are a contender. So I'm sure that that it has produced results and will in the future produce results.
Governor, while you've been gone, there's been some talk of moving the Fort Air Rescue Squadron down to Arizona to try to stop drug smuggling. You don't like that idea either.
You bet I don't like it. As a matter of fact, I'm angry as hell about it, and we've conveyed that to our congressional delegation. I think that is absolutely ridiculous, and you know, it's especially taking the tragic moment that recently happened on Mount Hood, the 304th again, because they've been involved so many times before in helping citizens. We're a major player in this. I'm really as mad as I can be about someone trying to steal it. Silently, stealthily, that's the senator down there in Arizona, and it's no longer stealth, it's high profile, and we're not going to sit still for it. We're going to do everything we can, and I believe our congressional delegation will do the same to prevent that from happening.
Which senator is it?
Well, Senator Packwood, Senator Hatfield.
Which
I mean,
senator?
Deacon Cheney, I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Aware of that problem.
Well, it kind of leaked. It was one of those things that we just picked up somewhere on the street, if you will, and about a week ago, 10 days ago?
Wednesday.
Huh?
Last Wednesday.
Okay, a week ago, a little less than a week ago.
Taking the whole squadron down there?
Every, moving the whole thing down there, yes, with the whole operation.
For how long of a period would that be?
Permanent. Yes. I'll tell you, it's you're going to hear some pretty loud screams if it even begins to move in that direction. The hint of it is enough to anger me.
How was it that you learned about it? Was it through the congressional?
This was, how did we learn about it? It's casual conversation by someone to someone else. Just one of those things that happens.
Governor, Oregon has almost no American military presence or defense contracting at all. Has your administration try to do anything to attract our own country to military installations, defense contracting? Is there anything that can be done to make Oregon participate more in this federal largesse that seems to be in California?
Well, there are disadvantages from, as well as advantages in terms of military. That tide comes and goes, and when one depends on it pretty heavily, it becomes quite traumatic when the tide goes out. No, I haven't made any extra effort to bring military. Certainly, we've made advances on a variety of things related to the military, and we're unsuccessful. And they've not been in the major manufacturing or anything of that kind. Certainly, we welcome anything that would relate to it. It's also strange that when our senators finally become a position of real strength in the Senate, the budget keeps going down for a variety of things, and it makes it difficult for our senators to do what Senator Jackson did, for example, for the state of Washington. But whenever we've had an opportunity to enhance the defense presence, we've followed through on it. However, that's one thing. The other is when we do whatever we have, we want to keep. And that's why we're going to scrap as hard as we can for the 304th.
Governor, with the tragedy, the worst tragedy ever on Mount Hood that just passed, there's been some talk of people suggesting regulation of climbing on the mountain. Do you have any proposals that you might be willing to support or put forth along those lines?
No, I don't. There have been tragedies occasionally by mountain climbers, but I would say too there have been tragedies by rock climbers. In other words, not snow related or weather related. There are going to be climbers. I think that good sense does generally prevail, and that regulations really aren't going to make that much difference. It would seem to me maybe precipitous that when the one large tragedy comes and the first immediate response is let's pass a law. Certainly this is going to make people much more conscious, much safety conscious in terms of climbing Mount Hood. Even as a matter of fact, the leader of that group had climbed it, I don't remember how many times, but a great number of times, and had done so safely. It's a tragedy. It really is a tragedy. I feel very sorry for the families and the loss of their children. And I keep relating how I would feel about my own children. But I don't think this is appropriate just to pell-mell rush to some kind of legislation.
How do you stand on the import tax on the lumber from Canada? Some of the officials from Canada say that would start a trade war between the two countries.
I had indicated early on when one of our congressmen was talking about legislation that because Canada is such a close friend and large trading partner, that we should try everything that we can within our means to negotiate the differences between us. I believe negotiation still is important. And I happen to be one of the members of a governor's committee to deal with the premiers of the various provinces and try to talk with them in regard to any problems we might have. And lumber is one of them. Or I should say wood products is one of them. I've said I've been for free trade, and I mean exactly that, free trade. Free trade in Canada, free trade in the United States, and anywhere else in the world. And so I would want to thoroughly exhaust any negotiation before I ever began to think about any kind of legislation. I still would hope for a negotiation in that case. Canada is having, they are now approaching areas in which logging is going to be more expensive and we'll be able to compete a little bit better. The dollar, the strong dollar, had quite an effect as far as Canada was concerned. That may be changing. But nonetheless, when you ask me, I still think there's negotiation room before legislation is passed.
Governor, on the Tillamook Forest Camp, been a killing and wounded by one of the inmates who escaped. Charles Hanlon has said he'd like to talk to you about that problem. What do you think should be done?
What
do you think should be done? Have you had a chance to
I can't answer the question for you yet, what should be done. And I'm aware that he wants to meet, and I'm willing to meet with him, but I want to make sure that we get all of the information that would show what our alternatives might be. Clearly, if we close that camp, we're going to have to deal with 161 inmates some way. And it does compound a problem. Whether or not there's still value, just you know, whether there's still need for them where they are is another question. We haven't thoroughly discussed it yet. As soon as I do and get the right answer, we'll meet and we'll make a decision in regard to that camp. I would say along that line, however, because it does dovetail, that we have a prison bond measure that seems to be wavering right now. I certainly would hope the people in that area 100% would vote for that bond measure so we can build a jail. There are those that talk about alternatives and let's not do it right now. That's dreaming. Those are dreamers. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have alternatives, and I agree with it. But we've got a problem right now, today. And to say that we should not pass a bond measure and do the alternatives, I think, is putting your head in the sand to the immediate needs of the state right now. Oregonians want us to put people in jail, but I hope this time they do vote for a measure that will build a jail we can put them in.
Do you have any alternatives in mind if that does fail?
No. We'll just keep doing what the best we can do with what we have. That relates to an overload of the parole and probation officers. It relates to crowding of all of the facilities, trying to treat them the best we can. We do have alternatives. We have juvenile services. We have diversionary programs. We've got a lot of things. We've got more people on the street than we have in the penitentiary right now. So to say, do I have another magic formula if that fails? No, I don't have. We need a prison. Just that simple. It's interesting to me that people have said, okay, now take care of it, but there are times in which the people themselves have to be a part of the solution. In the case of the bond measure, they're part of the solution. They can't expect us to take care of it without their help.
Can we get an update on the school tax plan? How many signatures do you have?
Well, I can't give you the number of signatures, but everything's going to kick us on Thursday. We're really organized. We've got some good support. Just noticed that the Farm Bureau had told me privately, now publicly, they're supportive of it. And you know about the others. And so I'm really quite optimistic about this. And things are moving along real well. I was sorry we were delayed by the period of time by one comment by Wally Priestley. All he did was delay the process, and that's all it did. That's unfortunate. But I still feel good about it. Kickoff Thursday. Official kickoff, but things are happening. Petitions are in some people's hands, and we're getting it going.
Where is that kickoff?
I just knew it was. I didn't know where. I'll be there wherever it is.
Thank you.
I would also say you shouldn't have any disadvantages because he's my son.
Back to this report to the president. Are these things listed in here subject to Graham Rudman, or is this just a case that the horse is out of the barn, this is what you should have done?
I don't know if I can categorize it. I don't think it's necessarily Graham Rudman. Without Graham Rudman, this is useful.
But it's Graham Rudman that triggered doing this in the first place.
Not necessarily that either. I said to you that in talking with Jim Miller, I was convinced that he indeed wants some specific assistance of how things should be done better. I never did get that sense from David Stockman.
But, the things that you've identified in this list are subject, some of them are subject to Graham Rudman.
Well, the agency certainly are.
Further estimate on the Graham Rudman effect on Oregon. There seems to be quite a bit of activity in Washington now on that subject.
Other than what we have already described, there's nothing new in regard to it. You saw most recently the report, the effect on human resource, which was a $6 billion impact as Graham Rudman, and that really doesn't account for what might take place in the next go-around. And then to a lesser degree, only because of the size of the budget, it would affect other agencies of state government. I would again remind you, however, if there were no budget balancing process going on, I also gave you that report that was going to cost Oregonians thousands of jobs.
What do you see as the chances for a special session at this point?
Don't think the odds are very good for a special session. Well, I think we can solve any problems that we have without one.
Is the point of this letter that Miller might cut useless things out of when he makes the Grand Run, when Grand Run cuts are made, rather than useless, useful things being cut?
I would hope that would take place, yes. there's a lot of make work going on out there that is not productive, is costly to states. It doesn't bring good results as far as the citizens are concerned.
On this trip, how's your health, sir, on this?
How am I feeling?
Yes.
I feel fine. I know I'm a little concerned, only concerned in the sense they tell me this is the rainy season, it's going to be hot and humid, and I don't tolerate that very well, but I'll live through it and do the best I can. I feel fine. Trying to catch up on sleep before I go. Haven't been too successful at that, however.
Are you crossing paths with the president anywhere on this trip?
Not that I know of. I think he'll be in and out of Japan before I get there. I'm not sure. We'll be in Japan about the 13th, I think, of the month. I think he'll be long gone by then.
Can you be more specific at all about the prospects in Fujian province, the timber industry prospects that you mentioned? What do those involve?
Well, they have been a variety of things. The first thing you did know about, of course, is we sold railroad ties to China. They've been talking to us about dry kilns and the providing of dry kilns. Whether that's going to take place, I don't know, but that's one of the things they've been negotiating on. Remember, that related to a furniture, knockdown furniture manufacturing kind of a plant. They're looking really an awful lot for technology of how you can get some jobs done, but also some products as well.
Changing the subject, the Reagan administration is proposing some limitations on governor's authority for sending National Guard troops outside the country. How do you feel on that? What would it do for you?
Well, I've already expressed myself. I always come down to what I call a states' rights issue in that sense, and the historic relationship between the governor and the National Guard, although the National Guard is funded in large measure by the federal government. Nonetheless, there is a relationship between the National Guard and the governor. What the president was getting at was some states whose governors decided they didn't want their troops to go. You know, I'm on the other side of that. I said, fine, send them, because I believe it's the right thing to do as far as our Oregon National Guard was concerned. But I just don't believe I don't believe it's constitutional, but secondly, I don't think it's necessary, and I certainly do not support him on that issue.
Governor, what do you think overall these trips have accomplished for you?
May I just amend it a little? I don't think you mean for me, but for the state of Oregon. I have no question in my mind as you look at, first of all, the investment by Japanese in the United States, in Oregon, that's documented. If you look at the international trade over the years that I have been here, that's been growing. I think we had a flat part last year, but that related to the price of our wheat, and wheat is a large commodity that we ship. But beyond that, there's been an increased stimulation by many companies, not just a few, of thinking in terms of international trade. And that, of course, means business for Oregon. I'm not talking about necessarily large businesses. I'm talking about small businesses. And they have seen that it's a good and easy route to do business overseas. And it's not complicated, and it can be done and done well. It also puts Oregon in a position that it wasn't in before I became governor. Because in 1979, I can tell you when I went there, I was received as a governor, but only with the status of a governor. Right now, we go there with the position of Oregon being well identified. People know where it is. They know that it's an attractive place to do business. We are in competition. There were times before I became governor where Oregon didn't even get a chance to bid on something. Now we've got a lot of chances. We are part of the competition. All of this is because of what's taken place. Now, who can prove that, although I do believe that the Oregonians have expanded their minds outside of the borders of Oregon, and they've learned that they are indeed part of a global society in which we can do business. And I think there's been a high level of awareness of the value of such things.
Thank you. What exactly are you taking credit for? Are you a door opener and then leaving the opportunities to Oregon business, or
yes.
Do you take specific credit?
Let me tell you what I would say, because I am now quoting business people, and they have said that since we've been making these trips, it's a lot easier for them when they knock on doors. A lot easier. And they find the reception a lot better. And they have a greater opportunity to speak substantively with their prospects. And now I'm talking about those that have been doing business out there, and they have seen the change. I think best, however, rather than quote me, you should really talk to some of them, and they'll tell you. Because they've told me the same thing. How much easier, how much better it is for them to do business on their own. And going cold turkey into a foreign country is not an easy thing to do.
Success of your trips has been underrated?
I don't know. I haven't stopped to think about that. I know what's happening. I guess you're saying whether I'm worried I get credit for it or not. I'm not going to worry about that. I have done what I think is right for the state of Oregon, and I've been criticized a number of times, and I'm certainly going to get criticized on a daily basis during the course of this campaign, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just pure and simply, for my own peace of mind, I'm not going to worry about it. I know it's right for Oregon. I know it's good for Oregon. I know Oregon's going to benefit because of it. However, I do want to quickly say that there has been less notice made of my trips to California, my trips back to Washington, D.C. to help our industries, trips on the East Coast. Those are taking less note than my overseas trips. They're all designed to do the same thing. Diversify Oregon's economy, provide jobs for Oregonians. And I'm certain that the stage is set. I'm absolutely certain that the base for our future is excellent, and I am very optimistic about Oregon's future.
Some of the criticism comes because of the timing of the trips, coming as it does toward the end of your administration. If you obviously you were occupied with other things during your terms, but if you believed in the importance of these trips, is it just a matter of you didn't have time to take them before earlier in the administration?
I first went in 1979, and then you know what happened. 80, we had a special session, a regular session, 81, 82, three special sessions, and regular session in 83, and I think you just have to go back to the times, and that which then is the most important. We were just fighting, scrapping to keep ourselves above water in the state of Oregon. It was enormously time-consuming. We really began the trips in 1983, latter part of 83, 84, 85, and this year. I don't know why anyone would criticize it. I suppose I could have avoided criticism and not do it at all. That would be good, and I would tell you if that were the case, I'd have been criticized during the course of this campaign for not having done it. You know, it's one of these things you can't win for losing. So that's why I say I'm not really going to worry about it. I know it's right. I know it's right for Oregon. I know that the image of Oregon in the United States, let's now put aside Japan and Korea, the image of Oregon in the United States is a lot different than it was than when I became governor of the state. I know that. I'm satisfied of it. And this criticism, mostly because of the election, is expected and normal and routine, and I can't say I'm really excited about it, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
Thank you.
Okay. There are some, I'm sure, but there's unquestioned that any alternative is not going to replace the need for a jail. We're going to need jails.
Intend to push for that
matter? As actively as I can, and with the time that I have, I've got a lot of other things going. Certainly my school measure is one of them. But if I have an opportunity to speak, I will speak on that issue. I will get the word out as best as I can to how as far and wide as I can. And of course, you give me the opportunity right now.
When did you decide to support it?
When it was passed.
Thank you, Governor.